Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The eggs were cold, the bacon was burned, and the plate looked like it hadn't been in the same room with a dishwasher for at least a month. But at least the coffee was strong and hot enough to burn my tongue a little bit with each sip. I pushed my breakfast sampler away. I didn't have much of an appetite that morning. Or maybe I should have just ordered the crepes. The IHOP was slow for a breakfast shift. I counted six other patrons, mostly tucked in the booths, nurturing mugs of coffee and watching the rain. At least it was dry and cozy in the restaurant. I'd been coming into the place every morning since Jessica left with the kids. I liked to tell myself that I was looking for a quiet place to go through the classifieds, but mostly, I just wanted to be around people. Even some of the weirdos that showed up at an IHOP at 5 in the morning on a Tuesday. There were plenty of oddballs drowning in their sorrows and some classic chocolate chip chocolate pancakes most days. That's why I barely noticed the twitchy guy in the trench coat in the corner booth until it was too late. I did make note of the dude when he came in. Even for an early morning IHOPper, the man in the trench coat kept glancing around the restaurant, limping slightly, looking like he hadn't slept in a month. Greasy brown stubble dotted his chin and fleshy cheeks. He sat down near me and ordered coffee, and I forgot all about him until I was finished with my breakfast and almost done with my book. There was a crash, glass or ceramics breaking against the floor. Some idiot in the back of the restaurant clapped. I figured it was an overstressed waitress who made a slight slip, so I didn't even look. Then a woman screamed. I turned towards the sound and saw a family standing up at their table, eyes locked on a spot near me. They were staring at the man in the trench coat. He was standing up then, trench coat open. For a moment, I was worried that he was flashing the restaurant, but he was wearing clothes under the jacket. The man also had a lot of guns. I saw shoulder holsters, extra magazines, pistols, and at least one sawed-off shotgun. The chubby guy's eyes were wild as he was breathing hard, little flecks of his breakfast stuck in his beard. There was another scream, but then the IHOP was silent. We were all frozen, waiting for something to happen. The man had a hand buried in his jacket pocket. I was close enough to see that he was shaking. There were three booths between us. I went through my options. I could run, but that would expose my back to the psycho before I got out the door. I could duck down in my booth and hope the man didn't notice me. Or there was always the fresh pot of coffee on my table. Before I could make a decision, the man in the trench coat dove out of the booth and ran for the door. I guess he lost his nerve with whatever he was about to do. The creep was gone in a second. The bell above the glass door tinkled to announce his departure. It was like the entire restaurant let out a collective breath. Someone giggled. A nervous release. "We should call 911. I heard a waitress tell the woman behind the counter. I'm not sure what made me stand up. A sixth sense? Or just some bad vibe that I hadn't been able to shake since things fell apart with Jessica. Either way, I didn't feel like celebrating the man in the trench coat's departure. Not yet. I walked over towards the big glass doors, slowing down as I got close. It was sunny out. Big yellow beams came shining through the glass in slanted columns. I peeked out, trying to keep myself concealed as best I could. The man in the trench coat was pacing in the parking lot. He was talking to himself, head shaking constantly like he was in an argument. The sawed-off shotgun was out, clenched in one of the guy's hands. It was a short, double-barreled boomstick, probably a 12-gauge. I could almost hear the man rattling with all the various guns and ammo pouches he had practically concealed in his open trench coat. His head jerked upright. He'd made a decision. I watched just a little bit longer, long enough to see Mr. Trenchcoat take a few steps back towards the IHOP. He would be inside in 20 seconds tops. I could shout and alert people, see if there was another door, another exit. But if I made a racket, surely the man would come running. 15 seconds, and I was still moving, even though I hadn't made a decision. Somehow, though, my body seemed to have a plan, even if I wasn't consciously aware of it. People were laughing, that slightly demented laugh of those who thought they'd just dodged a great danger. They didn't realize the danger was huffing and puffing its way back in, sawed off, gripped in one sweaty hand. I walked past my booth to the station where the servers could pick up orders. There were several pots of coffee warming on plates. I wanted a fresh one, but couldn't tell and didn't have time to check. I was moving on reflex, snatching up the closest pot half filled with coffee. I hurried back to the door. As soon as I turned the corner around the server station, I saw Trenchcoat. He was in the space between the interior and the exterior door. For some reason, just for a moment, the man was looking back into the parking lot. I barely had enough time to half walk, half run for a spot next to, but out of view of, the entrance. Dark coffee sloshed over the pot's opening, hitting my hands and splattering on the floor. I should have known then that my plan wasn't going to work, but my adrenaline was so high, I had tunnel vision. The man came in, shotgun first. I waited until he was halfway in the door. Then, I grabbed onto the gun by the barrels and splashed the coffee directly into Mr. Trenchcoat's face. I caught him square on, a perfect cascade of black fluid cashing the creep in his eyes. He yelled and jerked back, but I held onto the gun. I felt both barrels discharge as he hit the triggers. Luckily, I had the shotgun aimed at the ground. Still, some of the pellets ricocheted and caught my left leg. I yelped is a pretty accurate way to describe my reaction. People panicked when the gun fired. Standing there in the echo of the boom and smoke, I looked at the door. The man in the trench coat was still standing, looking more confused than injured. He dropped the shotgun, but I could see other weapons dangling from inside his jacket. We made eye contact.
"Cold?" he asked.
I realized I must have grabbed an old pot of coffee, one on an inactive warmer. Essentially, I just splashed the guy with room temperature bean water. As soon as he recovered from his shock, the man could start shooting at any moment. Maybe we both figured it out at the same time, because he started reaching inside his coat at the exact instant I swung the now empty coffee pot. The glass shattered against the man's face, slicing up his cheek and jaw and forehead. That was enough to knock him to the ground, and I jumped on him as soon as he was down. Other patrons rushed over, and we dogpiled the shooter, pinning his arms until a waitress ran over with duct tape to restrain him. The cops showed up quick. Part of me thought I was foiling a robbery, but that didn't make any sense. Why would a robber need a half dozen guns? It turns out the man was planning a random shooting. Police found his manifesto in his attic. He was living alone, a recent divorcee like myself. Maybe I should have sympathized with him, but whenever I start to, I picture that family standing up at their table, terrified. There were two kids. Too bad for the man in the trench coat. If he was going through a rough patch, that doesn't mean you ever get to hurt people. I'll be a witness at his trial in a few months, and I hope dearly that they lock him up and lose the key. I was never a fan of our local IHOP until the craziness that happened last summer. There were just too many good mom-and-pop breakfast places in town to bother with a franchise like IHOP. But that was before the place got the strange new cook and started offering, in my opinion, some of the best food on the planet. Before all the bloodshed and the violence and the fire, I would have said our IHOP was practically heaven on earth during the summer of 2021. The stranger arrived in town via Greyhound bus in early May. I was actually at the station that morning picking up my good-for-nothing brother-in-law when the IHOP cook came in. He wasn't the cook at the time, of course, just some young gun in a faded denim jacket and mirrored sunglasses that caught the sun. It's a small town, and we don't see visitors much, so I tossed the fellow a friendly wave. He smiled, and for a moment, I thought there was something funny about his teeth. When I looked again, it was normal. A car came and picked up the stranger a few minutes before Mike, that brother-in-law I mentioned, walked out of the station, already smelling like scotch and Pepsi at 9 in the morning. Mike wanted to get breakfast before going to my house and insisted on IHOP. He promised to pay, too, though I accurately predicted that he would tell me he couldn't find his wallet when the bill came. Still, trying to be a good host and take care of my wife's only brother, I drove my truck over to the IHOP. The joint was nearly empty when we walked in. Like I said, there were too many good places in town that didn't have that corporate vibe. As we sat in our booth, I was surprised to see the young guy from the bus station setting up in the kitchen. His jean jacket was gone, replaced with a clean white shirt under a dirty white apron. But he was still wearing his fancy shades. The man shot me a wave, and I smiled back. It was like we were already friends. I ordered the country fried steak and eggs, while Mike got the smokehouse combo. My expectations were so low, they'd be more of a pothole than a speed bump in hell. But from the moment our waitress brought over the food, I knew something had changed. The eggs were fluffy, the meat was seared to perfection, and the smell of both of our breakfasts almost made me snatch the plate from the server before she could set it down. It was the best meal of my life up to that point. I could tell from Mike's expression that he felt the same. My brother-in-law was so stunned that he forgot to forget his wallet and actually paid for our food. After leaving the IHOP, it was all I could think about that night. I lay in bed, tossing and turning, dreaming of the steak and the hash browns and the pancakes. I was up at 6 a.m. the next morning and at the restaurant 10 minutes later. Unlike the day before, this time, the IHOP was packed. Clearly, word had gotten out that the food was much better. Much better. I caught a glance of the kitchen and saw the stranger in there again, surrounded by steam and smoke, his spatulas a blur. The young guy was still wearing his aviators, so shiny they reflected the crowded IHOP back at us in the dining room. I ordered the breakfast sampler, though for a moment, then ordered a quick two-egg breakfast on the side, and sirloin steak tips to take home. All of us in the restaurant ate like it was our last meal. Food was flying, servers were diving out of the way like soldiers dodging artillery. Through it all, the stranger watched us behind his sunglasses, smiling in the brief moments when he was a whirlwind of action. Just like at the bus station, though, there was something off with the smile, if I caught it from the corner of my eye. Something too stuffed, nearly bursting out. Our whole family, maybe the entire town, started going to IHOP for every meal, every day. The weird thing was, nobody seemed to be gaining any weight. In fact, I dropped a few pounds that month. All of us regulars were thinning out, actually growing gaunter by the day. I began feeling odd. Not sick, but odd. Mike was my usual IHOP partner, and I noticed a change in him as well. His eyes were drifting apart, his nose flattening, and his beer gut was dissolving until his ribs were nearly poking out of his shirt. I felt a change in myself similar to his, but unique. My hair fell out in clumps, and my jaw began to get longer. It was not enough to make me grotesque by any means. I wasn't even getting second looks on the street. Still, I knew that I was slowly becoming something else. There was no doubt in my mind that the IHOP's new food had something to do with it, but like any addiction, I couldn't stop. The food was too good. I'd still probably be devouring IHOP 4 or 5 times per day until I was unrecognizable, if not for the 2 new strangers that came into town that June. Both were hard-looking men, graying and tall, dressed in black leather jackets. Neither of them spoke as they walked into the IHOP, but everyone froze to watch them. The larger guy held a hunting crossbow, one of the modern ones, locked and loaded. There was a hiss from the kitchen. The new cook, the one in the sunglasses, climbed out behind the counter, moving like his limbs had too many joints. I heard a twang. A crossbow bolt flew from the new stranger's weapon, piercing the young cook to the wall. Instead of showing pain, the chef hissed again, louder this time, enough that the water glasses on several tables shattered. He was clawing at the bolt in his stomach, trying to pry himself free. The shot had knocked off his sunglasses. For the first time, I saw his eyes, or where his eyes should have been. They were only black sockets, rimmed with row after row of tiny, sharp teeth. It was like he had a pair of miniature mouths, hungry and snapping, set above his nose. The creature that used to be the cook almost worked its way free from the bolt before the second man in black leather threw a glass bottle with a burning rag. The Molotov cocktail caught the monster square, and the fire spread quickly. Those strange hunters ushered us out of the IHOP as the flames began licking up the walls. Some of us, myself included, tried to bring our food with us. The 2 big men didn't allow it. I looked back from the parking lot to see the IHOP engulfed in fire. There was a shadow in the door, a thing almost like a human, but bent and burdened with too many arms. I heard another twang, and the creature went flying back into the IHOP. They never found the cook's body. Both of the strangers in leather disappeared as well. Over the next week, it was like our small town woke up from a shared nightmare, a mad one, full of distorted faces and inhuman food. I'm a religious man in my own way. I grew up hearing about the fire and the brimstone, a vengeful God, and the temptation of demons who might walk among us. Gluttony is one of the 7 deadly sins. I think I came face to face with it in a small town IHOP in the middle of nowhere. Whenever I close my eyes, I see the young cook and his empty, hungry eyes. I don't know who those 2 hunters were, but I am sure they saved us all. Still, it seems like I get a little hungrier each day.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.